It is sure good to see you today. Today is the 20th day of the month of August, 2023, and we will be on the last lesson in this series of lessons. This was part one of responding to God's faithful intervention from the minor prophets. Now, I'm going to say this because not many people take time to read the minor prophets. I've heard it said, the minor prophets are kind of boring, but I hope that the lessons I've taught you show you that these lessons, these books in the Bible are not boring. They are applicable for our day to day. And I want you to see some things today. Now, I'm going to try my best, and I always try very hard, I really do, to get the lesson completed. But I don't know that I will get this completed today, okay? All right, today's lesson is entitled, The Triumphant King. The Triumphant King. And we're going to be looking at Micah chapters 4, 5, 6, and 7. All right, Micah chapter 4 through 7. The Bible theme verse for our lesson today is found in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And here the Bible said Micah is talking to the people. Micah told the people, he said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. I want you to understand something today. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one he's going to establish after the tribulation time, that thousand-year reign of Christ, it is a sure kingdom. Let me tell you, it is sure, it is certain. Now, the world today does not like to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that. We understand that. And you know why they don't like to do that? Because lost folks do what lost folks do. And they don't know the Savior. Listen, lost folks need to know about Christ before it is eternally too late. Amen. And that's what makes your job, my job, as born-again believers so important in reaching folks with the message of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But you listen to me. They're never going to know unless you or I tell them about Christ. Now, these lessons, the world around us and the world in Micah's day and Hosea's day and Amos' day and Jonah's day, all these men of God that we've been studying, they lived in a time where there was great persecution. And they lived in a day when the Jewish people were not living for God. Now, God wanted the Jews to be his light in this world, but they became more like the world instead of being the light of Christ, the light of God, the witness that they should have been for the Lord. And God was, as we've seen in these lessons, he was very upset with them because they had rejected him. They had turned him aside. They refused to receive his word. And boy, the more you read in these Old Testament books, these minor prophets, the more you see pictures of what our world is doing today. They don't want truth. They don't want to hear, you know, what is right. They want the wrong to be just kind of oozed in and make everybody feel good about doing wrong. That's what was happening here. And while the world around us seems to decline from God, and while they seem to just turn away and reject and even mock the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to know today that the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is sure and it's certain. And one day, these things will come to pass. Now, somebody was asking me today, I think Trish was asking me this morning, why in the world doesn't the Lord just come on back? Why doesn't he come back and take us out of this stuff? And the only reason God's mind is far above my mind, that's for sure. But the only thing that I can think of from the Word of God, based upon what the Word of God tells me, is that the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants every person to be saved. Listen, if you read in the book of Acts, chapter number 26, when the Apostle Paul is giving his testimony, he reminds kings and high administration people, as he's giving his testimony, he's reminding him of what his life was like before he got saved, how he compelled the saints to blaspheme. He put them into prison, and he signed his name on their death warrants. He had them put to death, folks. And you know what? I'm sure that the saints of God in that day were probably praying, "Oh God, why don't you just come on back? Send your son Jesus back and take us out of this place." But you know what? God had a plan. And he fulfilled a lot of that plan through this man that was so vile, so wicked, so murderous, so filled with hatred for the cause of Christ. And yet God loved him enough to save him and to call him out and give us some 13 books out of the New Testament that he was used of God to pen and give unto us. And you know what? We don't know all the plans that God has for these folks that are seemingly so wicked today in our world. But his plan is not that any of them should perish and to die without hope and go to hell and spend eternity separated from God. He wants them to be saved. And you know what? He uses you and me to do that. So, child of God, I want to encourage you today, stay faithful. We're on the winning side today, amen? And we've got a triumphant king. He is going to be crowned one day, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm going to be there to see all that happen. But until that day, I want to be found faithful to tell folks about Christ. Just like these prophets of God, the men of God that we've been studying about. Micah today is having to give the people a message that they didn't like. They didn't want to hear it. But he told them and he reminded them that God still loved them. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to love a lot of these people to Christ. And we've got to tell them that there is judgment for sin coming. Yes, there is judgment coming. But God still loves you and he wants you to be saved. And this is what God's plan is for your life. So I want us to look at this today. I want us to look here beginning in chapter number 4. We're going to begin in verses 1 through 5. And I want us to see this coming kingdom that he's talking about. The coming kingdom. The Jewish people were discouraged. They were suffering the consequences for their sin. And you know what? God had told them, if you'll serve me, if you'll live for me, I'll take care of you. I'll do away with your enemies. I'll take care of all these things for you. But if you disobey, if you become rebellious, if you choose to reject my word and follow after the ways of the Canaanites and all these other wicked people that were around them, if you do those things, then judgment will come. And here, Micah is telling them, he begins chapter number 4 by saying, "But in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts hath spoken it. For all people will walk, everyone, in the name of his God. And we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and forever. Now, Micah closed out chapter 3 with God's promise of coming judgment for sin. As you remember, last week, he closed out that chapter. And he was talking to the rulers and the priests and the prophets who were teaching the people iniquity. These men were doing things against the Word of God. They were supposed to be the leaders and the spiritual leaders of God's people. And yet they were not leading them in the paths of righteousness. They were leading them in the paths of iniquity. And God was upset with them. And now as he begins chapter 4, he tells him of a time in the future. Okay? In the future, there's going to come a time of great tribulation. After the Lord takes his church home, his bride home to be with him, tribulation, distress is going to come upon this earth like it's never been seen before. And for 7 years, things are going to be happening on this earth that folks have never dreamed would ever happen. Now, I want you to understand something today. This time of tribulation, and I hear this from a lot of folks, but if you'll just read your Bible, you will understand that you and I, as born-again believers, we have been saved. We have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his children, okay? Those of us that have been saved, we're his children. We will not go through the tribulation, okay? The Bible clearly teaches that. And here, he's talking about no other time on earth will be as bad as this period of time called the tribulation, the time of Jacob's trouble. I believe Jeremiah talked about that. And Jeremiah talked about how it's going to be a time that is, that no one has ever seen anything like that. And that phrase, in the last days, refers to that time yet to come in the future. Now, we don't know when that time's going to be. We don't know when the Lord Jesus is going to step out and call his children home. But we know it's going to happen. Number one, we know it because he said it was going to happen. Jesus said it would happen. Number two, we have the Word of God that tells us it's going to happen. Listen to me today. Trust the Lord. You remember when the disciples were so discouraged in the book of John chapter 13? Jesus had told them he was going away and that he was going to leave them. And they were all upset and they were all discouraged. And in John chapter 14, Jesus looked at him and he said, "Listen, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And he talked about how he was going away. He was going to prepare a place for them. And he said, "If I go away, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He's made the promise. He's coming to take us out of this. And I'll cover this a little later here in the lesson. But you and I, as born-again believers, we have not been saved as unto the wrath. We've been delivered from that. Christ has delivered that. He took our payment for sin upon the cross of Calvary. I want you to understand that. He paid the debt for our sin. We have accepted that gift of eternal life, that gift of salvation. And we have not been saved unto the day of wrath. We've not been saved for that. Now, I want you to see here, at the end of that 7 year period, when the tribulation time is done, God's judgment and wrath is going to be poured out upon this earth. Micah foretells how that the days shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways." Can you imagine hearing the Lord Jesus teach us the ways of God? When we went to Jerusalem, when we went to Israel several years ago, and we went up on that mountainside where they believe that that's where Jesus taught the Beatitudes. He gave the message of the Beatitudes, and he taught the people there. And we sat up on that mountainside, that great hillside there, and you could look out over all of the area. You could see the Sea of Galilee. You could see all the land around it. And I just imagined in my heart, as Pastor was standing up there reading the account from the Word of God, how that Jesus taught his people, I could not but just help but think what a wonderful thing it must have been like to be there and to sit at the feet of the Savior and to hear him speak and to teach the things of God. I can't imagine what it would have been like. But you know what? One day, we're all going to get to see it. We're going to get to see that. And we're going to get to hear him. And I want you to understand something today. Before all that happens, before the wrath of God is poured out upon sinful men, those wicked nations who have rejected God's dear Son, those wicked nations that have poured out attack after attack after attack against the people of God, Israel. Boy, over there right now, it is a powder keg of things going on. And to hear our own president talking about giving the enemies of God's people, what, $7 billion in exchange for seven hostages that they've got? They're going to give them the money. And what are they going to do with that? They said it's for humanitarian purposes, okay? Their idea of humanitarian purposes is wiping out the children of God, okay? And our nation knows that. And yet we're going to do all those things. Folks, it scares me to think of the judgment hand of God that's going to come upon our nation. Not only for the sin that seems to be running rampant all around us today, but for the wicked leadership that we've got. We've got to pray for these folks that God would speak to their heart and show them their need of a Savior today. The only thing that's going to help them is God's gift of salvation. They must be born again. But listen to me, before all those things happen, the Bible said that the Lord Jesus is coming back again. And if you read over in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, the Bible said, for the Lord himself, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God that you and I, as blood-bought, born-again children of God, have that fact that we're going to be taken out of here before this time of tribulation comes upon this earth. And if you go back and you read over in the book of Romans chapter 5, in Romans chapter 5, Paul talked about this. He said, we've been justified by his blood. And because of that fact, because we have been justified, that verse goes on to remind us that we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are saved from wrath through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you go down one more verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Romans chapter 5, verse 10, Paul goes on to tell us, he said, for if, when we were enemies, now think about this just a minute, before we were saved, we were the enemies of God. We were at enmity, okay? All right? We were at enmity with God. We were the enemies of God. But through Christ Jesus, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We became the children of God. And you know what? That's a blessed fact. We need to thank the Lord for that today. We need to praise him for that. Folks, think about it. You and I who know Christ as our own personal Savior, we've been saved and we've been protected from the wrath to come upon this old sinful world. We've been protected from that. And the rebellion that the world is showing forth toward God, they're snubbing their noses at God today. Same thing was happening in Micah's day. And those chosen people called the children of Israel, after all that they had seen God do for them, they still chose to rebel and to reject and to refuse the word of God to become an active part in their lives. They sought after the things of the old flesh. And you know what? Listen, when they did that, it broke the heart of God. I told you last week about how that God's heart was broken for the sin of his own dear people. And I want you to see now in verses 6 through 13, I want you to see the triumph of the kingdom. The triumph of the kingdom. Look at verses 6 through 13, Micah chapter 4, verses 6 through 13. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted. I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast far off a strong nation. You see, God's got a plan for his people. The Jews, listen, if people come back and say they don't believe in God, proof that there is a God is the nation of Israel. Amen. Everything you see and understand about the Jewish people, brother, it's proof that God is real and how that God has protected them and he has preserved them alive as a nation. And he has made promises that he cannot break, and he has made promises that he will keep. And listen to what he said. And thou, O tower of the flock, the stronghold of the daughter of Zion, unto thee shall it come, even the first dominion. The kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Now, why dost thou cry out aloud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee as a woman in travail. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Jerusalem, like a woman in travail. For now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. There thou shalt be delivered. There the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled, and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for they shall gather themselves as the sheaves into the floor. Arise and thresh, O daughter of Zion, for I will make thine horn iron, and I will make thy hooves brass, and thou shalt beat in pieces many people, and I will consecrate their gain unto the Lord, and their substance unto the Lord of the whole earth. One day, total deliverance is coming to the children of Israel. They're going to be delivered. That scattered flock that has been scattered because of their sin, their rejection of the Messiah. They became spiritually lame. They couldn't walk morally, okay, as they ought to walk. They could not walk righteously as God would have them to walk, because they chose to turn the Lord God away. All those that had been seen only as outcasts, who've been driven out of their land and afflicted by so many, by spiritual depravity and sin. Listen, one day all that's going to change. And Micah tried to give these folks hope. During the time of Jacob's trouble, okay, when that day of great tribulation comes, God's chosen people are going to still be greatly persecuted and driven out of their land by heathen, godless nations around them. And if you'll look now, Israel is just a little dot surrounded by enemies. All their enemies have got them surrounded. And all the enemy wants is that one little spot that God has promised to them. And they can't get it. And it just makes them mad. And every time they try to do something, God does something else. I've got a series of videos at home that talks about how God has saved Israel through many times and many situations in the war times and things like that. It is incredible, man. Sometimes I get goosebumps all over me just watching that, to know that even in our day to day, God is still delivering his people from harm. And he's trying to get them to see and understand he alone is their God. And they need to put their faith and trust in him. Folks, listen to me. In verses 11 through 13 here, he tells them, "Now also many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let her eye look upon Zion. But they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel." Folks, who can know the mind of God? Boy, they can't figure it out, can they? They just can't figure it out. I remember when we were there in Jerusalem, in Israel, several years ago, and there were rockets being fired out, and they've got this iron dome, okay? You've heard of that, the iron dome? And it knocks down rockets and everything else. And there was a newspaper article, and Boaz, our tour guide, was reading that newspaper article to us, and they were interviewing, okay, some of the people that were shooting rockets at Israel. And they said, "Don't you have the technology to just go ahead and knock Israel off the face of the earth?" And the article, and he read it. It was written in the language there. And he said, he read that thing and he said, "Yes, we have the technology, but their God keeps knocking our rockets out of the sky." That was in print. It was in print. And I'm thinking, if their God was doing that to my little false God, I think I'd be on their God's side. Amen? Listen to me. God is going to deliver his people. And that's why I want you to see today the king of that kingdom. Man, when I got to reading about this, chapter number 5, look at it. The first 5 verses. And I'm just skimming over this to just give you something to just get your heart stirred up about it, okay? Because the God of Micah's day is still the same God of our day. And he's alive and he's well. And look at Micah chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. He said, "Now gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He hath laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Who's that talking about? That's Jesus. This is one of the verses, the messianic verse, that talks about the Messiah. And it reminds them, where is he going to be born? Where is he going to come into this world at? In Bethlehem, a little insignificant place, and yet something significant was going to happen there. And he's trying to give them hope. He's trying to give them assurance that God has a plan. And look what it said. Then the remnant, "Therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth. Then the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. And he shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall abide. For now shall he be great unto the ends of the earth. And this man shall be the peace." Now I want you to look at that. There's a little sign that I saw years ago. And it said this, N-O, the word no, N-O Jesus, N-O peace. But K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W, peace. The only peace that this world is ever going to know is going to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to come through Him. Israel will have no peace. We always pray for the peace of Israel. But you know what? The peace of Israel shall only come when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rules and reigns upon this earth. Satan is done away with. The wickedness of this world is done away with. And buddy, we are living in that time when Jesus is ruling. That's the only time it's going to happen. Micah here pronounces the promise of a coming Messiah. And he tells them, to gather thyself in troops, O daughter of troops. He had laid siege against us. They shall smite the judge of Israel with a rod upon the cheek. And while all seems lost for the people of God, and they're thinking, boy, there is no hope. There is no help for us. God has taken us and just cast us away. He tells them here in verse number 2, but thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Hope was on the way. Amen. That's what he's telling them. Hope is on the way. And he wanted to give hope to a lost and dying world. And you know what? That's what Jesus did for you and for me. He gave us hope. I remember before I got saved as a young boy, I was always trying to find something to make me happy. And I didn't have a problem finding something to make me happy, but it didn't last. And it was just like, man, my heart just, it was like a cup. It was like it had a hole in the bottom. I could fill it up with stuff and fill it up and fill it up and feel good for a little while, and it just drained right out that hole. But when I got saved, amen, he stuck that cup under a fountain that springs up out of my soul, and that fountain just doesn't run dry. And it just overflows that cup. And you know what? When the old Mr. Cup gets filled up, Sister Saucer gets blessed too. Amen. And you know what? Listen to me. He just gives joy. And Micah was trying to show them, listen, God's got a plan. This great king, though born in obscurity, would come forth to be the ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And look what he told them in verse 4. Micah told of how this great shepherd and this great king of all righteousness, he would stand up for them and he would feed them. And look what he said, in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. And look at verse 5, where he tells him, he said, and this man shall be the peace. He shall be peace. Listen. There is no peace in this world. The only peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Messiah would be their peace. And when the Assyrians shall come into our land, and when he shall tread in their palaces, then shall we raise up against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men. And it's talking about God's faithfulness to raise up those people that would lead them righteously, guide them, and help them to see that Christ is indeed the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. It talks about that. Isaiah talked about that. I don't have time to cover it right now. I want you to look real quick. I'm going to give you one more thing here. The conquest of the kingdom. I want you to look at this today. The conquest of the kingdom. Note what Micah tells them beginning here in the latter part of verse number 5. Micah chapter 5, verse 5. And going down through verse 15. He's talking here. This man shall be the peace when the Assyrians shall come into our land. And when he shall tread in their palaces, then shall we raise against him 7 shepherds and 8 principal men, and they shall waste the land of Assyria with the sword, and the land of Nimrod in the entrances thereof. Thus shall he deliver us from the Assyrian. When he cometh into our land, and when he treadeth within our borders, and the remnant of Jacob shall be in the midst of many people as a dew from the Lord, as the showers upon the grass, that tarrieth not for man, nor waiteth for the sons of men. And the remnant of Jacob shall be among the Gentiles in the midst of many people, as a lion among the beasts of the forest, as a young lion among the flocks of sheep, who, if he go through, both treadeth down and teareth in pieces, and none can deliver. He came the first time as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. But when he comes back again, he's going to come as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And buddy, he's going to set things in order. Amen? What a day that's going to be. Thine hand shall be lifted up upon thine adversaries, and all thine enemies shall be cut off. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee. Now he's talking to the children of Israel. He said, and I will destroy thy chariots, and I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds. I will cut off witchcrafts out of thy hand, and thou shalt have no more soothsayers. The graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee, and thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. Now think about this. The children of God were worshiping idols as far back as Joshua's day. You remember Joshua told them, put away the gods that your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and choose you this day whom you will serve. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the people came back and said, we will do that. We will throw away those gods. After all that they had been through, after all they had seen, they still carried the idols, the false gods of the people of Egypt. God again is telling them, I'm going to take those things away from you. I'm going to take away your strength. I'm going to take away your mighty chariots. I'm going to take away all those things that you've got confidence in. And look what he said. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee, so will I destroy thy cities. And I, who's I? The Lord God, the King of kings. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. Who is going to deliver the children of Israel? Who is going to deliver that nation from the wicked nations around them that are coming in to destroy their land and to take everything that they've got? Who's going to be their deliverer? There's only one that can do the job, amen? And it's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And when the Lord Jesus returns, he's going to nip it in the bud, as old Barney Fife would say. He's going to nip it in the bud. That's what he's going to do. He's going to take care of it. Micah here pronounces to this sin-weary people. He announces them because of their sin and rebellion against God. They have to endure God's chastisement for their sin. They're going to go through an awful lot. But God will not forget his people. Amen? God will not forget his people. And through the warfare that they go through against body and soul, and all the things that fall upon them through the satanic powers of opposition. And let me remind you, it is the power of Satan that is stirring up that fury and that hatred toward the people of God. Esau's group versus Jacob's group. It's been that way ever since they were born. And they're still fussing and fighting today. That's what it's all about. Listen, the Lord will be the great helper of his chosen people, the nation of Israel. And he himself will provide shepherds and principal men to lead them in trusting Messiah, to trust the Lord their God, and to see that he is the God of their salvation. God's going to provide that. And when the Lord returns to establish his eternal kingdom, he's going to deliver them himself from their enemies. I want you to look at the passage of Scripture real quick before we close. Revelation chapter 19. I want you to see something here, just a moment. Revelation chapter 19. Verse number 15. Talking about when the Lord Jesus comes back. And that army that's coming with him. Who's that army that's coming with him? That's you and me. the saints of God. Listen now. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Listen, Micah is telling them in these Old Testament passages that it will not be in their own power to become overtakers. They're not going to be able to overcome the powers of their great enemy, Satan. It's not in their power to do it, but it's in their God's power. Amen. And one day, he's going to strip away Satan's powers. He's going to take care of the enemy. And only through the power of Almighty God is the promised Prince of Peace going to set up that kingdom. And his kingdom, verse 2 of Micah chapter 5, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. King Jesus himself is going to deliver his people from their oppressors. And he tells them this in verse number 15. And I will execute vengeance in anger and fury upon the heathen, such as they have not heard. And then we come to chapter 6. And in the beginning of chapter number 6, Micah tells them of the coming judgment and its reason. And God tells his people what he has against them, his great controversy with his people. And if you'll come back next Sunday, I'll tell you the rest of the story. Amen? All right? I don't have time to finish it. My goodness. Isn't this good? Man, it's so good. There's so much here. And I hope it will thrill your heart to know we're on the winning side. Amen? We're on the winning side. Father, God, I love you today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to hear the message of the gospel that changes hearts and lives. Lord, thank you, dear God, for the fact of knowing that though we do not have the power to be overcomers, God, you are our power to become overcomers. And Lord, I pray that today you will help us to pray for our nation, to pray for our leaders. God, they need you as their Savior. They need to be saved. And God, if they don't get saved, they're going to have to go through this awful time of judgment for sin. And Lord, I don't want to see anybody go through that. But Father, today I pray that if there be anyone listening to the sound of my voice that's never been saved, that today the Word of God, the Spirit of God would bring conviction to their hearts and to their souls and draw them unto you, and they would call upon your name and be saved today. Lord, we love you. Thank you, God, for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, one day I look forward to seeing you face to face. Oh, what a day that's going to be. But until that day, God, keep us faithful for you. For it's in Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Love you today. Thank you for being in Sunday school.